Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message.
We've been pastoring up till this point for 11 years down in Rose Hill, Kansas, and have been down there. Before that, we actually did Chi Alpha at Wichita State University. God privileged my wife and I to be able to start that ministry and watch God do incredible things there. And so it has just been exciting. I'm not going to ruin much more of my story about here because I'm going to tell you a little bit about this church's part in my life in just a little bit. Before I do, though, I want to take a moment to introduce my family, my wife, Kim. My oldest son is David, my youngest son, Jonathan. And so they are excited to be here. David actually attended this church. David came to this church. I was on the board while we were doing Chi Alpha, and David got up to be almost 4 years old or so here, and so he told me he doesn't remember. I'm a little disappointed, honestly. God is a good God. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, Isaiah 58. We've been pastoring for about 10 years, and God began to lay on my heart. Actually, let me just say I was getting miserable. How many of you have ever been in one of those points in your life where you just get miserable? And I was asking God a lot of questions. I'm like, God, what's going on? I need a fresh vision. I need not to kill somebody. That was funny. You all got to dial in today. That was funny right there. I was asking God to give us grace to do what he did. And God, through some very wise friends of mine, as I was beginning to seek counsel, said, you know, it could be God's beginning to redirect you. And so we were begin to pray on that, and God began to open some doors in our heart to some potential places that we wanted to go. We knew we wanted to go back into missions. We knew that if we ever left pastoring this time, that we wanted to go back into missions. And so as I began to pray about that, God opened our heart to make a call to Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope is an incredible ministry that was created to help train and develop rural pastors and churches. Steve Donaldson started it, and it has just done a tremendous job even here in Kansas. We've had many of our pastors go through the training, and it gives such great resource and gifting. And I got to know Steve, and so I called Steve, and I said, I sent Steve an email, said I'd like to set an appointment with you to see about the possibility of giving you a call. I want to talk to you a little bit about some things that are going on in our lives. He sent me an email back, said, here's a good time, here's a good day, so put that on the calendar. The night before I was supposed to call, though, my wife comes out of the back of our house, the back room of our house, and she says, you know, I just had this crazy idea. And I said, what's that? She said, what if God would have us work with Convoy of Hope and Rural Compassion to go out and start short-term missions trips to rural America? I said, that's a great idea, but it doesn't happen, so that's crazy, you know? And so I just looked at her and I said, yeah, that'd be so sweet. And then I just went on with myself because sometimes we don't listen when we should, right? So the next morning I called Steve and Steve said to me after we got to talk, I explained to him what was going on. He goes, now, Rob, here's what we're really looking for. You ready for this? We're looking for somebody to come start short-term missions trips into rural America through Convoy of Hope. So after I got up off the floor, I said, you know, let me tell you what my wife just said. Now, see, this is why short-term missions trips are a big deal to us. We've done short-term missions even in our church for the 11 years that we were there. We've done multiple missions trips, but we always loved to go to rural areas. A lot of people go to the large towns that they need that, and that's awesome. Many go out of country. That's awesome as well. But we began to focus on rural America, and I don't know why it was, but I began to get passionate. So we went to Alaska twice and suffered for Jesus. Honestly, that was one of the awesomest trips I've ever been in my life. But we've also been to Carrizozo, New Mexico. We went to Williamson, West Virginia. We've been down into Arkansas in a couple areas. And we went to Mission, South Dakota, to the Rosebud Native American Reservation with our church. It's something we just love to do. So when Steve asked us that and see if we would be interested, we're like, yeah, we would be very interested to come in and be involved with that. So God has begun to open some doors for us. And as we begin to press into that, God began to confirm to us why we need rural America to be invested into through short-term missions. So let me talk to you a little bit about rural America, because some people have still a Norman Rockwell version of rural America, that it's this innocent and safe place to be in. And ladies and gentlemen, honestly, rural America has changed significantly over the last 20 to 30 years. Anybody who's been around rural America, you'll know that. The statistics have gotten kind of crazy. Over 95% of the American land mass is listed as rural. So think about that. Take a picture in your mind of the map of the United States, and think about the fact that over 95% of that map would be classified as rural, okay? Now, here's the crazy thing. Out of that 95% of land, only 20% of the U.S. population lives in that land, okay? So 20% of the people live in rural America, which is classified as 95% of what's going on as far as land mass. But those 20% make up almost 40%, or right at 40% of those who live below the poverty line. So let me say that to you again so you catch that, because I know it's a lot of numbers. I've seen your eyes glaze over. That means that out of everybody who lives under the poverty line, 4 out of 10 live in rural America. Okay? 4 out of 10, even though that makes up less than 20% of the U.S. population. There is a major need. There's some major issues that have moved in. For many who don't know this, the 1980s inner city has moved out into our rural countryside, and the reason is less law enforcement. You can get out there and do more things wrong, not get caught doing it. I've got a lot of friends who live out in way rural America, and they'll tell you that you can't leave anything anymore without it possibly getting stolen. And these are farms out in Nowhereville. You know, people were coming out there for that intention, out for that reason. Second thing, easier to get on welfare out there. There are just multiple reasons that these people, it's cheaper to live. It is cheaper to live in rural America than it is in urban America. And so because of this, many people are moving out into our rural settings. And here is the thing, though. I believe this is one of the greatest opportunities, because I believe we have the answer. You know what the answer is? It's the local church. Now, let me say it again. I want you to hear me, because I know I'm here to talk about Convoy, and I'm going to explain to you this in a minute, but I want you to understand that Convoy of Hope and Rural Compassion believe one major principle, and that is that the hope for America, whether it be rural, whether it be urban, whether it be internationally, is the local church. You are the hope for this nation. It is not our goal and our desire as Convoy to begin to rush in and play the Calvary music to come in and think we're going to save everything. No, we are coming to empower the rural church, because it is only through relationships, and it is only through the investment of our churches in our local communities, that we have the ability to change people's lives. Like, 3 of you agreed with that. Congratulations. I know it's cold outside, but I hope this warms you up. I hope you realize that you are the answer. God is doing some incredible things. So Convoy of Hope and Rural Compassion want to help. So in 1994, Hal Donaldson started Convoy of Hope with the reason of feeding kids. That's really where Convoy of Hope started. I know y'all just had a team go to Haiti, right? How many we got here that went? I hope that you had a tremendous time, but I hope you were also able to see the need there. It's incredible, is it not? I think in America, we get lost about the fact that there are still people out there who are in need. Because to us, when we say, boy, we're really poor, we're not. But I'm gonna tell you something that's crazy. I just went to Rosebud Indian Reservation Mission in Mission, South Dakota. I will tell you that I saw people living in things that I have only seen in third world nations. It is still here in America today. There are still, did you know that, I can't remember my stat now because I didn't write it down, but there are a huge amount of rural children who are food insecure. Do you know what that means? That doesn't mean they're insecure about their food. It means that they're not getting the nutrition that they need. Here in America, in rural America, I've talked to many pastors around Kansas who know that they have kids that the only food they get is what they get at school. I had one pastor look at me and he said, I have one young man, he was a school bus driver. He said he had a kid that every time school would let out, the kid would cry because he knew he wasn't going to get good any amount of food until school come back in. That's here in Kansas. That's rural America. Convoy of Hope began to get this vision to feed, and then as they begin to do that, all of a sudden we had some disasters take place, and there was an opportunity, so Convoy started disaster response. How many know that Convoy does disaster response? We've already staged, when we had the major storms come in Florida, we had already staged our trucks just outside of the danger zone, waiting for the storm to move through so that Convoy could be one of the first entities into the area to bring food, to bring water, to help those who are volunteering. It's been incredible. We also have the opportunity of doing community events. I don't know how many have ever had an opportunity to go down to Bethel and work with Bethel in the community event that they do here in late July, early August. But that's Convoy's passion, is to give a church or a group of churches a resource to be able to reach their community. So in they begin to ask churches to give. Churches begin to give. They begin to invest. They begin to love. But something happened. We started having people come to us and say, hey, you know what? I give, but I'd really like to take some people to go. And Convoy said, well, but we don't have any way for you to go. We're just having you give, and then we'll invest. And they said, we really, really want to go. So in 2013, Convoy of Hope started the Field Teams. Field Teams was a short-term missions opportunity for churches who were involved with Convoy of Hope, churches that were involved with Rural Compassion, to be able to partner and go in short-term missions, as you guys just did, so that you could see and be and invest into the areas that Convoy of Hope is investing in. And it blew up. We had a tremendous response to that. And so we've been having teams go, many teams to Haiti, but a lot of teams to Africa. We've had some teams in Central South America. And we're just exciting news. I'm going to let you on some exciting news. Convoy of Hope is now reaching into Europe. In the next, this year, we've started to develop our outreach and short-term missions opportunities into Europe. So it's been pretty exciting. So all of that just to say, it has been a tremendous opportunity to do that. And then almost supernaturally, God began to connect Convoy and Rural Compassion with some churches in rural America. And they sent a couple teams, and it hit us. What would happen if we could connect with our rural churches by sending small missions teams to help them advance the kingdom in their community? Not to do the work of the kingdom, meaning that's their job, but to resource them to be able to do that. So we begin to get that, they begin to ask that question. So a few years ago, we started with one in Rockaway Beach. If you don't know where Rockaway Beach is, if you know where Branson is, Rockaway Beach is not very far from there. A pastor in the church, a Baptist church there in Rockaway, began to get a passion to develop their community. They believed they could bring health and life back to their community. Started talking to some of the guys at Rural Compassion, and we started sending teams in to do some construction work. And then all of a sudden, we had another door open in Louisiana with Curtis down in Louisiana. Kim and I just got back last week from Tallulah, Louisiana, where we just did a community event down there. And then we opened our last site that we've opened to this point in West Virginia, in Jolo, West Virginia. And so God has just been opening the doors for us, and we're beginning to invest in. Now, what are Kim and I going to be doing with Convoy? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. They needed help. They needed help because Convoy and rural teams, the field teams, have always been internationally focused. And they said, we need somebody to come in and help develop the domestic side, especially the rural side. And when God brought this together, they came in and said, what if we tasked you guys to work with Matt Wilkie, who is the head of the field teams? You guys have probably gotten some things from Matt. Tremendous guy. Got one of the greatest passions, the greatest heart for reaching out into these communities that I've been around. And they said, what if you came and worked with Matt and you guys begin to develop that? So that's what Kim and I are going to be doing. God is doing some really cool things to give us the opportunity to reach out into rural communities. Why do I believe the local church is such an important thing? I'm going to tell you why. And it has to do with this church. It has to do with this church. When I was born, my mama was, some of you know my mom. My mom's Rita, my dad Critter. My mama was 17 when she had me. She had me and dropped out of school because she couldn't go to school and at the time and have a boy, have to take care of a baby. So my mama dropped out of school. So we kind of grew up together. I think I raised her pretty well. And I didn't know my dad. My dad never really became part of my life. My biological dad ended up, he died at a very young age in a truck accident. My little brother Mouse came along. My mom married a man. They had him, and then they got a divorce. My mom wasn't a Christian. We grew up heathen. And so then my mom met Critter. Critter is my stepdad, truck driver, which was not uncommon because that seems like that ran through our whole DNA is trucking. So my mom and dad, they got together and we were just doing what we do, trying to make a living and do the things that we're going to do. And one day, a guy came to our door, knocked on the door and said, "We'd like to take your kids to church." This is when busing really became a big deal. And they said, "We want to send a bus, get your kids." And at the time, either because we really hadn't developed a fear of people just sending your kids off, or because mom knew that they would bring us back pretty quickly, they went ahead and mom said, "That'd be great with us." Next thing I know, we're on the bus. We go to this little church. I get there. Preacher starts preaching on Jesus. He tells who he is, that I'm going to die and go to hell. That did not sound like an exciting opportunity. All I had to do was have faith in Jesus. I responded to the message, went up and gave my life to Jesus as about 9 years of age. Came back home, told my mom, went back the next week, got saved again. About 6 weeks, kept going up till finally one of the guys told me, "You only got to do this once." I said, "It'd been good to know about 6 weeks ago. Thanks for letting me know that." So I ended up giving my life to Jesus. And then supernaturally over the next number of years, and those of you that know my mom and dad's testimony will know this, my mom and dad supernaturally got saved. Critter was a drug addict, did $500 to $1,000 a week in drugs, drove trucks, would go 2 weeks without sleeping, got pulled over one time for 141 miles an hour in his truck. Officer Friendly asked him to stay around for a while. He got to spend a little bit of time getting to talk to the officers for a couple days before they let him go. But it was a rough man. Loving man, never touched us in a bad way, never was abusive to me or my little brother, but he was a man's man. John Wayne would have had this guy on his wall as a poster. Critter was that way. My mom, just Arkansas. She's from Arkansas. She's a hillbilly. I am bilingual. I speak both hillbilly and English, which is one of the reasons why they want me to work in rural America. And so my mom, she did some tremendous, I could have never asked for a better mom. And I mean that with all my heart. My mama loved me and my little brother with everything in her. She did everything she could to make sure that she knew, that we knew that we could be successful in this life. She did it differently sometimes than others. She looked at me one day and she said, "You know, you can do whatever you put your mind to, but if you start not doing it or you start getting into the drugs, I'm going to kill you. I will rip your face off. Do you want me to rip your face off?" I'm like, "Sure. Sounds like an exciting opportunity." That didn't go well. But she just really believed that we could become more. My mom got saved. My dad got saved. Found out they were living in sin. They were living together, not married. So my dad was out on the road when my mom realized this. So she immediately had him dispatched home without a load, which didn't make my dad happy. And my dad didn't even know. He called, said, "Hey, where am I going next?" I said, "You're coming back to Wichita." Critter said, "Why am I coming back? I just got out." I said, "Because you're getting married." He said, "I'm what?" I said, "You're getting married. I thought you knew." Critter said, "No, my mom hadn't told him." So he ended up coming back and they got married. It was kind of cool opportunity there. But all this took place in a very short amount of time. We were going to one church and then supernaturally we ended up at Valley Center Assembly of God, which at the time was what it was. You know, Life Point Church, love the name, but that's, we were Valley, you know. And so we lived in North Wichita. My mom and dad started finding out, got to know Bobby. I remember the very first time we come to the church, it was, you know, just one of those times when you're just getting to know a strange church. And I don't know, I don't see Dan here. No. So Cundiff was here, big Cundiff, and he's a big guy. And I remember the very first time I came to church here, I was standing next to him. I didn't know him. We were visiting, and it was my dad and my mom. My dad was on the edge, my mom, my little brother, and me, and then big Dave Cundiff standing right here. Dave gave a message in tongues. It was then my dad, my mom, my little brother, and me. And then Dan, because it scared the tar out of me. But it was an awesome opportunity. It was a begin to get involved with this church. Bobby Massey was my youth pastor. He began to take me under his wing And he began to show this little kid from North Wichita who had never had anybody pick him to be the special one. My mama thought I was special. My dad thought I was special. I had dyslexia, still do. Have some dysgraphia, I have some learning disabilities, which made me not go well at school. I wasn't athletic, I was slow, but I made up for it by not being very agile. And so as long as you could go slow and straight, I was okay. But that didn't really excel me at many sports, so I wasn't known for, I was just one of those faces in the crowd. Until this church began to take an interest. I began to get involved with the youth group, began to go to our youth convention. We would go to our retreats. We would do all of these things. And the reason that we had all of this going, the reason we did this is because we had a church who said, we care for you. And then what ended up happening is that church began to care for me. I began to actually believe maybe God could do something. And at the time, I wanted to be a fighter pilot. When I hit my freshman year in high school, I decided I want to be in the Air Force, I want to be a fighter pilot. Right after my senior year in high school, though, we had had an inner city outreach in Wichita. We had come back and got up on the stage and shared with what all we had had. And as I was in the middle of prayer that night, God spoke to my heart. And he said, you know, if you want to go in the Air Force, I'll be with you. But I'd really like you to consider going into the ministry. I'm like, God, you don't understand. I'm not very good at school, Lord. Do you realize that? And talking in front of people, not exciting. And I begin to list to God all the reasons why I shouldn't be who he called me to be. But I had a church that continued to say, you be. And so as God began to move, some things began to happen in my life, got called in the ministry, and now I've been in ministry for 27 years. We've been missionaries, we've been pastors, we've been youth pastors. Why do I tell you that long, boring story? Pretty simply because of this. If it wasn't for this church, I would never have, I believe, gotten the passion to do the work of God. And I will tell you that in 27 years of ministry, there are a lot of lives of people around the world now, because we worked with Chi Alpha and I got to Disciple Internationals. We have people all around this world that have been impacted from a guy from North Wichita who never would have been there if it wasn't for a church in Valley Center, Kansas. Did you just hear that? Now, you may say, yeah, I know, but I wasn't there. But you may be here for the next Rob. See, the next Rob could be sitting in this congregation right now, becoming to youth right now, and you won't know it, because I promise you, I can guarantee you, not even Bobby Massey himself looked over and said, well, there's greatness. He's just like, let's hope he doesn't hurt himself. God is an incredible God. I want you to read this verse with me, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. It says these words right here. I love this. It says, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets and dwellings. How many here think it would be incredible if our churches and our local communities in America were known as rebuilder of the broken walls? How incredible would we be known if we were called restorers of the streets and dwellings? But the local church is not just this one building, it's you. It's you reaching out to heal those broken foundations. And we have a lot of broken walls in this society today, and I can promise you, there are a lot of broken foundations. The family unit is broken in America today, and you want to talk about breaking the foundations of somebody's life? Break the family unit. We have so many things that have happened in our country, and we've got so many people who are looking for a reason. Not just a reason, but looking for the ability to take the next step in their lives. The fact that they can be more than what they think they can be. And I believe it sets in what you guys have here. It's in what God has already done in you, through you, to empower you. And that's what I believe about our churches in rural America. I believe that there is a Valley Center, Life Point Church, in every community that there is a church that can really get a hold of it. What they just need is a little help. So Convoy of Hope and Rural Compassion have come together to provide that little help. We are working to build relationships with congregations so that we can come in. Sometimes, you know, you got a pastor who doesn't even can't even get paid to pastor. He's got to work a full-time job to support his ministry habit. I know pastors that have 2 to 3 jobs just so that they can continue to do the work God's called them to do. When you're like that, sometimes it's hard to get over that lump that's in the way of the church because you don't have the time. But if somebody like Convoy of Hope, if a team from Life Point Church could come for a week and do outreach in a community or maybe come in and help build or clean up a facility, that might be just what that pastor needs to push through whatever is stopping that church from being able to effectively do its work. And the one thing I'll tell you about Convoy of Hope and Rule Both that I love tremendously is they make sure that the people we work with have a passion for their community. We're not just coming to put a roof on a church because it needs it. We're coming to put a roof on a church because we know that church knows it needs to touch the community. And how many knows that a roof that doesn't leak is a lot easier to reach your community? So we come and help that, or we come and help with outreach. We were in Tallulah, Louisiana this last week and did an event much like what they do down in Bethel. Tallulah is about a town of about 6,000 people. We had 742 people come through the event on Saturday. 725 of the 742 stopped for prayer. Now, isn't that incredible? 1,200 bags of groceries handed out that day. And here's the crazy thing. We had 2 barbers. They cut 68 people's hair in about a 4-hour period. They were busy. But you know what really matters? Here's what really matters is when we were at the end and a lot of those people had left, we were talking to pastors and church leaders of, because we had brought a lot of churches together, Pastor, which is sometimes hard to do, but we had done it. When I say we, I actually mean Curtis. Curtis had put a lot of years into doing that. Curtis was out doing, and I was doing some stuff, and I had pastors come up and say, we got to do this again. We have never seen God do anything like this in our community before. How many know that once you get the vision, once you get the idea that God wants to move in your community, it's easier to step out the next time and the next time? This event that we did in Tallulah, I believe they will be feeling spiritual shockwaves for months and years to come. I believe we will see people's lives changed. I believe that there are going to be people who are going to work together who haven't before. You know why? Because God was there and involved with his people. So that's what our vision is. That's what our desire is. We want to create opportunities for incredible churches like this to come out and reach and help churches who are incredible as well, but not as resourced to do the work. So how can you help us? Man, I'm glad you asked. You guys are like on top of the questions today. There's three ways we need your help. So let me give you these real quick. First off, we need your prayers, and I'm not joking. When you're going into the dark areas and your boots on the ground, there's a lot of spiritual warfare that can kick up. I know you guys just went to Haiti. I know that the trip out was a little bit more difficult than you would have liked it maybe, but God was still good. We had our team that just came into Louisiana. They were flying out of Montana and got to Houston and couldn't get in. And we had to wait to adjust to get them in. That seems like that's somewhat of a thing that happens every once in a while with these trips. But when they got there, they told me, they said, Rob, God must have something here because we have felt the spiritual warfare. We have felt the spiritual warfare from the beginning. God must have something going on. We need prayer. These are our prayer cards. Got me and my family on it. These are not my rookie cards because, as I said, I've been in Chi Alpha. We have prayer cards for it. But it is my youngest rookie card. So if you want him to autograph it for you afterwards, I'm sure he'd do that for you. If you could take one or two of these cards, put them somewhere to pray for us, man, I will tell you, it would be such a great blessing to know that we've got churches that are praying and seeking God for us because we need it. We do a lot of traveling. We've put on how many miles this year? Over 20,000 miles this year. And that's all driving for me at this point, has been all driving. And we've got some more to put on yet. Next year, I'll be spending 6 weeks of the first half of the year in probably in Jolo, West Virginia, leading teams down there. So we'll be away, and my wife and them, we're trying to get moved from Altoona. We're living in Altoona, Kansas. You want to talk about rural? Altoona, Kansas, that sounds so small. Both the city limit sides are on the same post. And so we're living there at this point. We're moving to praying to get moved down to Springfield as soon as we feel like we can do that effectively. So we just need a lot of prayer. So one is if you'd pray for us, we would appreciate it. Secondly, giving. We need to, there's this thing we have we call eating, and we kind of like it. And I have a 15-year-old now who's very fond of eating. And so we've got to be able to purchase the food and to pay for what we need to do. So pray about the opportunity of supporting us monthly. If it's something God would lay on your heart, if you talk to pastor or get it set up, that would be awesome. But we are about 43% of our budget. We need to get up. And so if you could pray for us to raise our budget, and then secondly, pray and see if God would have you do that, that would be incredible. Thirdly, you guys have actually already done, and that is we want to always encourage you to take a trip. How many have ever been on a missions trip here in this church? How many have ever been on a missions trip? If you have not raised your hand, no condemnation on you at all, and I mean that with all my heart, not doing that to give you, but pray about going. I believe missions trips are an incredible opportunity. We have a very consumer Christianity in America today. People come to church for what they can get. Last time I heard what Jesus said, he said that we were supposed to seek first the kingdom, not what we want, not our blessings. He said, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will take care of our needs. So I believe one of the things short-term mission trips do is gives you an opportunity to say, you know what? Instead of being here to get, I'm going to come to give. And I will promise you, you will not be sad that you did that.
Everybody dance. Everybody, this concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.